Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where we're going to be as we think about and talk about taking God at his word. This is our last week of not being in Exodus. Next week we'll be back in Exodus discussing the plagues, all right? So invite all your friends to come to church with you. Well, next week, frogs. All right. It'll be a lot of fun, and excited to jump back in there. But today, I wanted to talk about the why behind the what of why we really want to be a church and a people that study God's word and put God's word on just full display when we gather together, whether it's in here in our community groups or wherever we gather. We want to be a church that is committed to knowing God through his word and taking God at his word. I know that if you've been around here at all, you understand that we do that in the fact that we study verse by verse by verse on Sunday mornings. We walk through books of the Bible together most of the time. And so I know you know that we do that, but I kind of want to talk today about why we do that, and hopefully that God would use that in us to draw us closer to himself and show us who he is and how much he loves us. And here's the deal. I think a lot of us as Christians, I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt, that most of us want to know God's will. We want to know what God has for us. We want to know what God says to us. We want to study the Bible, but we, again, most Christians don't. Most Christians do not read the Bible. Most Christians do not study the Bible. And this is not a guilt session. Nobody's going to try to guilt you on anything. That's not the goal ever. All right, here, I'm not trying to do that. But it's just the fact that most Christians, even though I believe want to know God's will and want to know God's word, most Christians don't study the Bible. And I just thinking about why is that? Why is that we do that? Why is that the case? And I think there's two main reasons, okay? One of them is that we're lazy, okay? I think a lot of Christians just like, yeah, I was going to, but then I had Netflix, and so I decided not to. So we're lazy, okay? I think that's one reason people don't study the Bible. The other reason I think most people don't study the Bible is we are intimidated by it, okay? I think a lot of Christians, they are intimidated by the Bible. They're intimidated by studying the Bible. So when you get to this book, when you get to see it, and you know, maybe you sit down on January the 1st and you're like, finally, this year, I'm going to read this thing. But you don't know where to start. You don't know what to read. You don't know where to stop. And so we just don't, okay? Either because we're lazy or because we're intimidated. A lot of Christians, we just don't know God through his word, and we don't know what God has for us and what he's told us in his word. And so we do things that, it's created. This will make people mad, but we have created a generation of illiterate Christians when it comes to the Bible, okay? And I would say that's the fault of the pulpit as much as anywhere. So we'll take responsibility for that. But we want to be part of changing that. And look, I would tell you, I love devotions. Devotions are great. Devotionals are great. I'm not going to knock your devotion. But I would also tell you that we need to be a people that can read God's word for ourselves and don't always. We shouldn't be a people that have to have someone else chew it up for us and tell us what it says. Okay. We don't want to be that. We don't need to be that. You don't need. I know that the church for a long time told people that you needed a priest to tell you what the Bible says. And let me tell you this. That is not true, okay? That is not true at all. If you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, and you do have the Spirit of God living inside of you if you know Jesus, okay? If you do, then you have all that you need to understand God through his word. You have everything that you need. And so what I want to do today is help. Help us kind of see how we can learn these things and see these things and understand the why behind the what, so that maybe, just maybe, you and I can walk out of here with the tools that we need to know God correctly through his word, not for knowledge's sake. I'll say this, and then this is the last statement I'll make before we actually get into the sermon. This is not the desire for you to study the Bible, the desire for me to study the Bible, the need for us to know God through his word and to study the Bible. Hear me. It is not for information's sake. The goal is not knowledge, okay? Hear this. The goal is transformation. Why do we want to know God through his word? Why should we study the Bible? Why should we seek God through his word? So that God would transform us, so that he would make us more like Jesus. The goal is has never been, if the goal, okay, if the goal is ever knowledge, we've sold out to something that is cheaper than a greater thing that God wants to bring to us, which is transformation. He wants to make us more like Jesus. And so how is he going to do that? Primarily he's going to do that through the Bible. Okay, so I want you to see four truths that hopefully will guide us and guard us today and maybe as we leave here as well. So four things I want you to think about when you think about studying the Bible and taking God at His Word. The first thing is this: you can understand it, all right? You can understand the Bible. There is clarity in the Bible. I'm telling you this one up front because this is one I hear all the time, all right? Well, Jeremy, I try to read the Bible. I can't really understand where to say it, all right? I don't really understand it. I ain't no preacher. I don't know what it's trying to say. How am I supposed to read the Bible? I don't know. I don't really know what it means. And I get that, okay? I get that. But I would tell you that really that's an excuse that's not from God, all right? Because God's desire is that you could understand it. It is written in a way so that you and I can understand it. It is not just for the theologian. It is not just for the super spiritual. It is for every one of us. If you don't believe me, I'll tell you what the Bible says about itself, okay? Psalm 19. I'm going to be all over the place again. But look at what David says of the Bible in Psalm 19. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, doing what? Making wise the simple." So if you say to yourself, "Hey, I'm just a simple guy, man. I ain't into it." Good, all right? Bible's for simple people. That's who it's for. The Bible makes simple people wise. It's good news for us dumb people in the room, right? It's what it does. It makes simple people wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That the Bible will turn the light on in our brains so we can understand these things. Psalm 119, David writes, "The testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to who? To the simple." It can be understood even for us simple people. And then Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's the Jewish people call this the Shema, okay? They would recite it every single day. And you've probably heard these verses before, but Hebrews 6 says this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to" who? To your children. Okay? This is even understandable for children, he says. "You shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates." He's saying everywhere, man, God's word, it ought to affect everything about everywhere you look, everywhere you see, everywhere you go, everything you touch. It ought to be saturated with God's word. You ought to teach it to your kids. When should you teach it to your kids? Not just at church. I mean, look, it's not just the job of Capstone Church to teach your kids God's word. It's your job. We're here to partner with you in that, but it's not my children. The primary spiritual guidance that they get ought to be from mommy and daddy, not from Miss Amy, okay? Even though Miss Amy kills it and all her workers kill it, thank God for them, okay? But that supplements what we're already doing at home, right? It supplements what we do together. I should be talking about that when I sit down, when I rise up. I should be diligent about teaching it to my children wherever we're going, in the car, at the supper table, at bedtime, wherever. I should be diligent about teaching it to my children because my children can understand it, okay? According to the Bible. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this: "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we might understand the things freely given to us by God." That the Spirit of God has come to live inside of us, and now I can freely understand the things that have been given to me by God. "And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." We'll talk about that in a minute. "The spiritual person judges all things, but he himself is judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Two things I would point out to you in this passage. Number one is this idea in verse 14, that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness or folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Hear me. When the world, when culture, when your professor at the university, or when your unbelieving boss or friend, when they don't understand the gospel, that should never surprise us. Okay? Should never surprise you. that your professor makes fun of Jesus, okay? Because it's foolishness to him. It's foolishness. He says it in the Bible. It is foolishness. It's folly to those who don't believe. So when people who don't believe, don't be surprised, right? I mean, I know like we've lived in this pseudo-Christian world where the moral majority has made us think that our country was Christian, but when people that don't believe, don't believe, don't be surprised because they don't trust Jesus, right? It is folly to them. And these things that we believe are spiritually, he says, discerned, that only those who have the Spirit of God living inside of them can understand it and will understand it. So don't be surprised when that happens. But the flip side of that, okay, for you and for me, the good news is for all of us that do have the Spirit of God living inside of us, and again, we do the moment we trust Jesus, then we can freely understand everything God has given us. Look back at verse 12. He says, we haven't received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of him who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And here's the thing that's written up under that point. I want to make sure you get this. For you and for me, when it comes to understanding God's word, the clarity of the word of God, when it comes to understanding God through his word and taking him at his word, the only thing, all that you need to understand God's word is the Holy Spirit and the desire to. Okay? If you want to understand God's word, here's what you need. The Holy Spirit, and if you know Jesus, you have him, and the desire. That's all you need. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to have a real high intellect. And look, and I love self-deprecation when it comes to preaching because I think it's a good tool for communication, but I'm not doing this for self-deprecation. I'm just being honest with you, okay? I'm not a very smart person. I'm not. I grew up right down here on Kicker Road, all right? Went to Seahigh. Went to Shelton, had to go to summer school one summer because apparently they're serious about algebra. I made a 47, not on a test. Miss Wynn's class, she might have been in there. She can attest to it, all right? I mean, I just not like, I don't have tons of intellect. I'm just not that guy. I made a 21 on my ACT, okay? I don't even think you can get into college with a 21 anymore. Back in the 90s, they let anybody in because they need money. But Jenny's sixth grade nephew, he's a sixth grader. He just made a 19 on his ACT. I was like, good work, buddy. Come on, you know, a couple more years, you might be as smart as old Uncle Jeremy is, you know, as soon as you're a teenager. all right, I'm not. Like, you hang out with me very long, you're like, he's not kidding. He's kind of dumb. But here's the beautiful news, all right? You don't have to have high intellect to understand God's word. You've got to have the spirit and the desire, okay? That's all you have to have. If you have the Spirit of God living inside of you and you want to know God through his word, you can. So don't come at me with the I'm not smart, okay? Because I'm more not smart, all right? I mean, just simple. And look, I think so many times our world belittles being simple, and I think that's foolish, okay? It's okay that you're simple. It's okay that you never took calculus, it's okay you don't have a college degree, okay? I mean, it's okay. God doesn't value that. He values faithfulness. He doesn't value just because you don't have a degree hanging on your wall. But look, just because you don't come at me with, then I can't understand the Bible, because you can't. Okay? If you have the Spirit of God living inside of you and the desire to, you can understand the Bible. I don't care how smart you are, how dumb you are. If you have the Spirit inside of you, that's all you need. It's all you need. So you can understand God. You can take God at his word for yourself. You don't need me. You don't need a priest. You don't need a devotional. You need the Spirit of God and the desire. That's all you need. Okay? Second thing I want you to see is this. Not only can I understand it, but number two, I need to understand it. I need it. I need God's word in my life. The necessity of the word of God. I need it. Really for two things we see in the Bible. Number one is to understand, truthfully understand the gospel. Number two is to grow in my spiritual life. If I'm going to understand the gospel, I need the word of God. And if I'm going to grow in my following Jesus, I need the word of God. I do not need something else. And we, the American church, is always in pursuit of something else. Something else, a double portion of something, a Bible code. Well, I wonder if you add, you take the fourth word and the third paragraph and the second letter and combine it here. I mean, what the real meaning is. As if, you know, as if God is trying to trick us. I mean, it's asinine is what that is, okay? You don't need that. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, Paul says. We don't need, you don't need a Bible code. You don't need, you know, some kind of a special tool to help you find the right word. Just read it. Just read it and seek to understand it, because you need it to understand the gospel and to grow in your faith. I will tell you, you will never grow in your faith all that you could grow until you fall in love with God's word. You need God's word to grow as God intends for you to grow. He intends for me to grow. Two passages here. Romans 10. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved," which is a great promise for us. Anyone that calls on the name of the Lord for salvation will be saved. And then he's going to ask these rhetorical questions that the answer is they can't, okay? How then can they call on him in whom they have not believed? They can't. How can they believe in whom him of whom they have not heard? They can't. How can they hear unless someone is preaching to them? They can't. How can they preach unless they are sent? They can't, as it is written. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, which is a quotation from an Old Testament passage, which continues. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Verse 16, but not all have obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And then Jesus in Matthew 4, when he is tempted, he says, he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's Jesus quoting Deuteronomy 8:3 there when he's tempted. You know, actually, when Jesus is tempted, after he goes into the desert for 40 days, when he's tempted, every time that Satan tempts him with something, his response is a quotation from the book of Deuteronomy. Now imagine if you're fighting against spiritual temptation hinged on your knowledge of the book of Deuteronomy and the ability to quote it. I mean, I know he was God and everything, but still, he knew God's word. And how did Jesus fight against temptation? With the scriptures. When Jesus was tempted, he quoted scripture against that temptation. He didn't bind something. He quoted the word of God. He quoted God's word. It's what he did. It's how he handled it. And look, you and I need God's word. We need God's word to understand the gospel, and we need God's word to grow spiritually. And look, I'm on record of saying this. I'll go on record and saying it again. I believe that God can speak to us however he wants to, okay? He can speak to you through sunsets and sushi if he wants to do that, okay? He can. I mean, to say that he's God is to say that he can do whatever he wants to do, right? I mean, I think that's kind of the deal. Like, he's God, meaning he can do whatever he wants to do, right? But God's primary means for speaking to us is through his word. The primary way God speaks to us is through his word. And I would also tell you that even though God can speak to you however he wants to, we need to judge, we need to read everything that we say that God said to us. We need to always filter that through the lens of scripture. Because God's never going to, and somebody needs to hear this, I'm going to make somebody mad, that's okay, I love you anyway, all right? But God is never going to tell us to do something that is contrary to his word. That will never happen. God is never going to tell you to do this, and then you go read the Bible and he said to do something else. I'll give you an example. God's never going to give you a piece about getting a divorce. He's not going to do that. God hates divorce. How do I know that? Because the Bible says God hates divorce. All right? Now, is God's grace sufficient for you if you've walked that road? Absolutely, God's grace is sufficient for you. Okay? Is there forgiveness found in Jesus Christ? Absolutely, there's forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. Is God going to give you a peace about doing something that he hates? No. Okay? So you can't say that. You can't say God gave you a piece about, I mean, that would be, again, I'm not trying to be trite here, but that would be like me saying that God gave me a piece about cheating on Jenny. Well, God gave me a piece about it. So, no. No, he didn't. How do I know that he didn't? Because he hates adultery, right? So God wouldn't give me a piece about doing something that the Bible has already told me that he doesn't like, that he hates. And so I need to, those are really extreme examples, I know. Here's my point. Everything that we say God said to us, we have to filter it through the lens of Scripture. That's why I need the Bible. That's why if I'm sitting on the beach somewhere and it's all spiritual and great, and I say, God told me this, well, I better be careful. First off, I want to be really careful what I espouse that God said. But secondly, whatever, if God is speaking to me, then he, whatever he says will absolutely be set as truth through the Word of God. Okay? That's why we need God's Word. That's why we need to know God's Word. And I would just encourage you too, don't spend all of your time pursuing God through other means. Don't spend all your time pursuing knowing God through other means when you can know God truthfully right here in this book, okay? And again, I'm not downplaying God speaking to you through other things. He certainly can do whatever he wants to do, but he will say, you can be assured that he will speak truthfully to you through his word, okay? You can, you know, because sometimes you go, I don't know if that it might have been God, it might have been the guacamole I had last night. What was it? You know, how do I know? Is this God really? Did God really tell me to do that? Or did that just happen because, you know, I didn't know. Well, how do you delineate between those two things? Here's how you do it. The Word of God is how you do that. This book is how you do it. He has given us his word, the standard of truth that I do not have to doubt or question. I can trust this book. So therefore, I can understand it. And number two, I need it. I need to know God's word. For salvation, yes, and to grow in my walk with Jesus Christ, I've got to have the Word of God to do that. Third thing I want you to see is this. The Bible contains everything I need to know, trust, and obey God. Okay, and if I were underlining things, we didn't underline the word need. That's my fault, okay? But the Bible has everything I need to know, understand, and trust God. He has everything I need. It is, the Word of God is sufficient, all right? Now, everything I need, maybe not everything I want. The Bible has everything I need to know God. It may not have everything I want to know about God or about what he has done. Because look, let me tell you, there are some things that the Bible doesn't tell us. There's a lot of things the Bible doesn't tell us, right? I mean, you know, you get these questions, and I get these questions all the time. Well, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? You know, was the Bible created, you know, was the earth created in, you know, 7 24-hour periods or 7 time periods? You know, is the earth 4,000 years old or 40 billion years old, okay? How old is it? Do you know? No. I get these questions all the time, okay? And I love them. You know, I speak pretty on a decently regular basis on some classes at the university, and I always go in, and no matter what the topic is, at the end of the class, I always go, hey, anybody got a question? You want to stump the preacher? And I get the same questions every class I ever go to, but every student that ever asks them, they all think that they're the first one to ever think of it, you know? They're like, what happened to the dinosaurs?
Idiot.
You know? And I'm like, I hadn't even thought about that.
You guys are so smart at 19.
I don't say that. I want to. And you know what I say? I don't know. And they're like, what? I don't know. I don't have it in the dinosaurs. Okay? I don't know. I don't. There, you know, hey, and I'll say this. I'll say, hey, guys, there's a lot I don't know. I don't know exactly how old the earth is. I don't know what happened to the dinosaurs. I don't know if the whole earth, actually every square inch of the earth flooded in the flood, or if it was just the whole inhabited earth. I don't know, okay? I don't know where the ark is, or the tablets of the Ten Commandments. I don't know. I do not know, okay? There are some things that I don't know the answer to. And look, you're going to ask me questions. Why didn't God heal my mother of cancer? You know what the answer is? I don't know. Why do we keep having miscarriages? I don't know. I don't know the answer to these questions. I wish I did. Why does God allow pain and suffering in this world? I don't know. Okay? I don't know all the answers to all these questions. I don't know these answers. But The fact that I don't know all the answers doesn't mean that I can't know the truth of God. See, the Bible is not meant to give us all the answers. The Bible is there to give us true answers. All that we need to know about God, we can find in God's Word. A couple passages I want you to read. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then Deuteronomy 29:29, which is my gospel trump card, okay? Paul tells Timothy, his young pastor friend, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is literally God-breathed out by God, and is profitable." So all scripture, God said, God-breathed, and is profitable to us. Here's the deal. There's no passage in the Bible that we can't gain from, okay? There's no throwaway passages or unimportant passages. Now, there may be some that are more important than others, like John 3:16, real important, okay? You know, maybe for salvation's sake, more important than Leviticus 4, okay? I don't even know what Leviticus 4 is, but I'm going to guarantee John 3, when it comes to salvation, has more salvific value, okay, there's a big word, than Leviticus 4 does, okay? But all profitable. Every bit of it profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, okay? All of it is. Deuteronomy 29:29. I don't mean to throw this out as a trump card all the time, but I do think it's really important to get. That tells us this. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, which I would stop here and say this. What does that mean? That means God has decided there are some secret things. God has decided there are some things that you don't need to know. They're secret. There's some things that only God knows that you don't get to know. Well, I don't like that. So? I mean, really, that's so selfish and so self-centered. Well, I want to know. I don't care. All right? God says, hey, there's some secret things that you don't get to know. Okay? You don't get to know these things. But he goes on and says, but these things that are revealed belong to us and to our children so that what could happen? So that we may do all the words of the law. God says, you're not going to know me fully, but you can know me truthfully, right? You're not going to know God fully, but you can know God truthfully. That God has looked at us and said, there are some things that you don't need to know, all right? There's some things that you don't need to know. And I put those two movie quotes together. I've done it before. You know, God says, basically, God looks at us and says, you're on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. And here's why. Because you can't handle the truth. I mean, really, God goes, why did your mom die of cancer? Yeah, you're not. You don't need to know that. Here's why. Because you couldn't handle it. I don't think you could handle that, Jeremy. So I'm gonna help you out. And that's secret. That's gonna be secret for now. When you get to heaven, it'll be revealed. But for now, that's secret. That's veiled for you. Okay? But here's what you can do. You can do all that I've commanded you to do. You gonna know what happened to the dinosaurs? Probably not. Okay? You gonna be able to decide between theistic evolution and 7-day creationism? Yeah, probably. You're probably not going to figure that one out with your central high school education, Jeremy. But, all right, you can know all that you need to know to follow the words of the law and to do all that I've commanded you to do. You're not going to know me fully, but you can know me truthfully. I've given you all you need to know that. And I always tell you this, but I'll say it again. Look, if that hits you wrong, like, well, I can't believe God wouldn't tell me everything because I deserve to know everything, okay? Because this is so about me. What I always say to that is, look, I don't even know how the internet works, okay? I mean, it's ones and zeros. How is the press conference of Nick Saban in Atlanta ones and zeros? I don't know. That's amazing to me, all right? It's awesome. I don't know how it works. I'm glad it does. Every time I get on it, always works, okay? It's amazing. Microwaves. You ever think about it? No, you don't think about it. You put your junk in there and it comes out hot. All right, cheese is melted. Perfect. 30 seconds. It's great. How does it work? No clue. Okay? And look, I said that one time and somebody came up and explained it to me. I'm at the point now, I don't even want to know, you know? Like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know how a radio works. I don't want to know how the copier works. I don't know how any of it works, okay? I don't want to know. I'm just glad that it does work, okay? So at the point in life where I'm like, it's awesome, right? It's amazing. Here's my point. Like, there's a lot of things in your life that you don't know how or why, but you enjoy, right? You just enjoy that it does. And look, just because you're not going to know how or why God does everything or doesn't do everything that he does or doesn't do, it shouldn't cause us to doubt his goodness. It should cause us to enjoy that he is infinite and I am finite, that he is immortal and I am mortal, that he knows all and I don't know a whole lot, but I can rest in who he is and be thankful for the promises of God in that. And then the last thing is this. God's word should have the final say in my life and beliefs. That is, it should be the authority. God's word should have the final say in what I do and in what I believe, meaning that it should be the authority in my life. In those same college classes that I go to, I always say this. I always say, look, you're going to have an authority in your life. You just got to decide what you're going to allow that to be. For some of us, authority is science. And so no matter what anything else says, science trumps everything. And so if it can't be proven in a lab, then I won't believe it. And that's cool if that's your authority, you know. For other people, it's culture, okay? So no matter what happened in history in the past or what's going on over there, well, in this culture at this time, this matters. And so if it's happening in America, in this culture, there's these standards. But if it's happening in an Islamic state in the Middle East, then there's this standard. And so if it's happening over here, it's this standard. So culture is the authority for some people. For others, it's government, right? The law of the land is the law. And I'm going to follow it regardless. It's going to be the thing that guards and guides everything. And for others, their authority is themselves. Like, however I feel, whatever I think, however it affects me, I'm going to be my authority. You know, the problem with all four of those is this. They're ever changing. Okay? Science is always changing. It's always evolving. Always finding out new things. Government, God forbid, culture, you, always changing, okay? All of those things are always changing. That's why I would tell you those are horrible things to be the authority in your life, to be though if any of those things are the thing that have the final say in how you live and in what you believe, you're going to always be blown and tossed by the wind. You just are, because those things are always changing. That's why I believe that you and I should make the Bible the final authority in our life, okay? The final authority in our life, hear me, warts and all. There's some things in the Bible that like I'm like, that's hard. It's hard to believe, okay? There's some things in the Bible that, quite frankly, the natural man, Jeremy Burrage, doesn't want to believe. And I'll give you one of them. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I hate that verse. Okay? And if you are a go-getting, grab the bull by the horns, make it happen kind of person, the Bible says that God, it's not that God looks at my pride and goes, you really shouldn't do that. He says God opposes it. Like he is in opposition against the pride in my life. Well, that's not rounded edges, right? Like that hurts. And that means something's got to change. Either I've got to deny the scriptures or I need the Spirit of God to change the prideful heart that I have because he opposes it. There's things in the Bible that are hard to believe. They're hard to deal with. They confront your sinfulness, my sinfulness, on a regular basis. But I would tell you, it is the unchanging, ever-true, all-sufficient word of God, and it should be the final authority in my life and what I believe. So if what I believe about God isn't matched with what the scriptures say about God, then I change what I believe. Listen to me. Even if my church has believed it my whole life, even if my denomination has believed my whole life. And if your church, your denomination, stray away from what it says, then you should change churches. Okay? I mean, like, I know that's harsh, but I don't really know how else to be about it. Like, it is an unchanging, ever-living, all-sufficient authority in my life. And the beauty of it is outside of myself, it is outside of culture, it does not change. All right? So it is a standard, a plumb line by which I can judge all things. And I should. And so here, my question I'll leave you with, and we're done, is this. What is your authority? Like, if you were going to say in your life, what gets the final say-so in your life? What is it? I don't want you to say that out loud, but what makes the final decision in your life? Your heart? I'm just going to go with my heart. Just trust your heart. Don't trust your heart, okay? Jeremiah says your heart is deceitful and above all else wicked. Who could understand it, all right? Be the worst thing you could do is trust your heart, Reba. You know, don't do it. Don't go with that one. What are you going to trust? What's going to be your authority? What's going to have the final say in your life? And I pray that it would be the Bible. Jesus said in John 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus doesn't say your word is true. He says your word is truth. That it is the standard of truth. Not just that it is true, but it is the standard by which all of the truth is judged. And therefore it should be our authority. Here's what I'm going to leave you with, all right? It is true. It is sufficient. You need it. And the good news is you can understand it. So why would we not? Well, why would we not give ourselves to know God through his word? Why would we not make it our ambition to know God through his word? Not for the sake of knowledge, but for the sake of transformation. Not for the sake of knowing more and being able to win arguments. Not the goal, all right? But for the sake of becoming more like Jesus. Being more like Jesus. Glorifying God with my life, by me being more like Jesus in my parenting, in my marriage, in my work, in my neighboring, in my coaching baseball, in whatever it is that you do. Transformation, becoming more like Jesus through the study of his word, because it's clear, I need it, it's all I need, and it should be the final authority of my life. God, may God bring that to bear in us, I pray. Would you join me as we pray together? So, Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I pray that we would be faithful to you and faithful to what you've told us in it. God, help us. We need your help in seeing and understanding these truths clearly. And again, God, as we do, I pray that the goal would be being transformed into the image of your son, not becoming more religious and not becoming more knowledgeable, but becoming more like Jesus by the transformational power of your spirit through your word. God, do that in us. Grant us that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.